Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
I think it was about 6 months ago that that I heard some crying coming from one of the kids' rooms, and I wasn't exactly sure what was going on, but you know, as a parent, you kind of let it go for a little bit. Because you never know. We have four kids. So at some point, you're going to hear crying. And most of the time, it's really nothing. But it continued. And so I went and I looked for who was crying. And I found my oldest son, Joshua, sitting on his bed. And he was just weeping. And so I went over and I asked him, Joshua, what's going on? Like, why are you crying right now? And he's one of those kids that when he's upset, he doesn't always want to tell you what the deal is. He just wants to enjoy crying for a little bit. But eventually, as I talked to him and I reassured him, hey, it's okay, you can tell me what's going on, he looked at me and he said, through tears in his eyes, it's really hard to believe in Jesus. It's really hard to believe in Jesus. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I read about these things. You tell me about these things that Jesus did, and they're so hard to understand. It's so hard to figure out. And you know, I looked at him, and the only thing I could say is, you know what? You're right. It can be really hard to believe in Jesus. It can. Because Jesus doesn't make a lot of sense to us. You know, we say that Jesus was born of a virgin, and that we're like, say what? That doesn't happen. And then we say, well, and Jesus is actually God and man as one. And we go, how does that happen? And then Jesus was crucified. He died. And we're like, so God comes to earth as a man, and then he dies? And then to cap it all off, we say, and then 3 days later, he came to life again. And yeah, I get it. This stuff is difficult to wrap our heads around. And maybe you're here today and you haven't come to this place where you said, you know what, I can still believe. I still believe in Jesus despite how hard this stuff is to comprehend. If you're here and maybe this stuff is too difficult for you and you're just, I don't know that I can handle a sermon about weird stuff. I wanted to let you know today that you're not trapped here at all. And so if at any point in this message or in this service, you're like, you know what? No, I got to get out of here. We totally understand. And absolutely no one is going to judge you or look down on you or anything if you decide, no, I've got to get out of here. But my hope is that you will really listen today. That you'll allow yourself to hear. I mean, it's Easter. And so here's what I told myself. I said, you know what? I'm actually glad that Jesus is hard to understand. And he looked at me kind of funny. You're glad. I said, yeah. I mean, if somebody was making it up, nobody would say that Jesus was born of a virgin. That doesn't make sense, because everybody's first reaction would be, that doesn't happen. If somebody was making this up, they'd say that, you know, God came and pretended to be a human, not that God came as a human. Because no one would ever say, oh yeah, you know, God became flesh. Someone was making up, who on earth would have said, yeah, God died. And if somebody wanted to come up with something believable, they really probably wouldn't have said that, yeah, so, you know, there was an earthquake and the tombstone rolled away and out came Jesus alive. If people were making up God, they wouldn't have said that God is three persons in one. Because that stuff there, you think about it and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. How do you believe something like that? But you know, there's something that's even more difficult than trying to come to a place of believing in Jesus. There really is. There's something more difficult than believing that Jesus is who the Bible says that he is, who people throughout history have attested to him being as they've experienced him in life or as they witnessed him and what he did back 2,000 years ago. Something even more difficult, and I'll tell you what that is. It's even more difficult than believing to come to a place where you say, yeah, but even if he did rise again, does it have significance for me here 2,000 years later? Realistically, what does it do for me? How does it affect me that Jesus died and rose again? And even if you come to a place where you're like, okay, I see that it affects me a little bit, it's even more difficult to say, and you know what? I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to live a life that is lived for him. And so here's what I want to ask you today. You're here on Easter, and so maybe you were dragged here. I don't know. Maybe you were just, you decided it's Easter, and this is what I'm going to do on Easter. But if you're here and you're like, I don't know that I can wrap my mind around this Jesus thing, this raising from the dead thing, can I ask you to suspend your disbelief just for the next few minutes? Because what I really want to talk about today is not so much, you know, did Jesus do what he says that he did, but I want to talk about, what does it have to do with me today? How does it help me today? So if you're all right doing that and just saying, okay, yeah, you know, I've got some issues here, but sure, I'll set them aside and just hear what you have to say. Then let me say this. I think that death is a scary thing. So you can't talk about resurrection without talking about death. You can't talk about any of this stuff without addressing death. And the fact of the matter is, death is scary. I mean, we think about these things when we think of death. We think, well, what if I haven't done all that I want to do and I die? What if I haven't taken in all of the experiences that life has to offer? If I miss out on something? Or what if people forget me? What if all the things that I've worked so hard for, they're just gone and nobody remembers my name 10 years from now? Or we look at it and we buy into this idea that this life is all there is, that after this life that there is nothing. And so then we say, well, what's the point of life anyways if everything just stops? If it's all just gone at the end of this, then life is kind of pointless. Just enjoy it and be done with it. But death is scary because it's all there is. See, following Jesus doesn't have to take away your desire for life. When you follow Jesus, you don't say, oh, you know what? Like, I'm looking forward to greater things and this life doesn't matter at all. In fact, you still may be a little bit scared of death. You still may think, well, there's things out there that I want to do. But let me tell you that following Jesus gives you the hope of better and richer existence beyond this life. It gives you hope that when you pass away, that it's not just nothing, but that there's something there and that it's something great. And so today, if you'll allow me, we're going to spend a few minutes, just a few minutes, looking at how an empty tomb has implications for our future. And the first place that I want to go as we talk about this is I want to go to the Bible. Because we believe that God inspired people to write this so that we could know him. We could know what he desires for us. And so if you've got a Bible here today, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a mobile device and you'd like to follow along, you can go to abundantsprings.church/notes, and that will take you to all of our main points that are going to be spoken today and all of the passages from the Bible that we will be looking at. We'll also have it on the screen behind me, so if you're like, you know what, I'm here and I just want to listen, awesome. We've got you covered there. So here's what Revelation 1 verse 17 to 18 says. When I saw him, this is John speaking about Jesus. John's on the island of Patmos. Jesus has died. He's risen again. He's ascended back into heaven. And the disciples and all the believers in Jesus have been going through tough stuff. And John has actually been put in prison on this island. And he has this vision of Jesus, and he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. That's what Jesus said. Lord Jesus, I just ask today that you will really highlight to us the things that we need to hear. God, we thank you that you died, that you rose again. And we thank you that there are implications for our eternity. So Lord, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and please make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's go back a little bit. We're told by God that God breathed life into the world. That he breathed life into humanity. And he gave us one job. He said, take care of the garden and don't eat from that one tree. But the allure of becoming like God was too much. And humanity rejected God. We tried to supersede him. To be beyond him. And so life that is given by God, it was pulled away. And there was death that was brought into the world. And you see, we may say, well, that's a horrible thing. But the fact is that God has been seeking to bring us back to him, back to his life ever since that moment. And Jesus's death and resurrection, his victory over death, opens the way for you to have new life. And that's what Jesus says there. He says, I died, I've risen again, and now I have power. I have the keys of life and death, of death and the grave in my hands. I'm in charge now. And you see, you may be afraid of death, as we talked about there. But the resurrection is proof that Jesus told the truth. The resurrection is proof that Jesus told the truth. Because Jesus had said, hey, I'm going to die. But 3 days later, I'm going to raise again. I'm going to be brought to life again. And the funny thing is most of his followers didn't even catch it. They'd forgotten all this stuff. They were too busy going, no, Jesus is going to be with us forever. He's going to solve all of our problems. And then he died and they're like, what is going on? But then he rose again, and that's when they remember, well, wait a second. He promised he was going to do this. See, we can trust his promises. Jesus makes promises about the future. He makes promises about what eternity is going to be like for those that believe in him, that trust in him. He says, hey, I'm going now, and I'm going to prepare a place in heaven for you. He tells us all these great things, and if you've never read about his life, let me tell you, it's a great read, a challenging read. So you may be afraid of death, but the resurrection is proof that Jesus told the truth. And you may be afraid of death, but the resurrection proves that Jesus can raise you too. See, it stands to reason that if Jesus can raise from the dead, that he's got you covered. Now, I'm not saying right now that if you say, Jesus, I believe in you, that when you die, he's going to be like, bang, you're back. Ha. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that Jesus is going to bring your soul to life. And so when you pass away, it's not the end, but that there's more. Your soul will live on in the presence of God. And that's not it either, because we're actually told that at the end of time, when Jesus comes back and he puts his throne here on heaven, he rules the earth, that our bodies will rise again and be made new, that we'll be given new bodies. See, we will be risen again. There will be no more death. No more pain, no more shame. You may be afraid of death, but the resurrection is proof that Jesus told the truth. And the resurrection proves that Jesus can raise you too. You may be afraid of death, but you know death has been defeated. It has been defeated. Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave. And then Jesus died and God rose him from the dead. And the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Because Jesus has beaten it. He won over it. Understand that before Jesus, death was kind of a permanent thing. I mean, you died and you were dead. Before Jesus, I mean, even when Jesus was on the earth, he brought Lazarus back from the dead. I don't know if you know that story, but Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus comes and says, Lazarus, come out. And all these people who had embalmed him and knew that he was dead, they're like, don't go near that tomb. It's going to smell. And they roll away the tomb, and out comes Lazarus all wrapped up in his burial clothes, alive. But you know, but before Jesus rose again, Lazarus just had death to look forward to again. But then Jesus rose again, and Lazarus had hope of eternal life. See, now that Jesus has risen again, the soul lives on in heaven with God when you put your trust in Jesus. There is life. Eternity isn't empty for those who follow Jesus. See, the tomb is empty. Jesus rose again. The tomb doesn't have anyone left, but eternity isn't empty. Eternity has more. See, the empty tomb is a promise of a full eternity. If you're taking notes today, I encourage you, write that down. The empty tomb is a promise of a full eternity. Because that tomb was empty, because Jesus, who had been killed so brutally 3 days before by professional executioners who knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this guy is dead. He was buried in this tomb, and there were guards on the tomb. And yet there Jesus stood in front of his followers. And you might say, just a few followers. No, no, no. We're told that over 500 people saw Jesus after he rose again. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us. And let me tell you, this isn't somebody writing 50, 60, 70 years after the fact. This isn't someone writing 300 years or 2,000 years after the fact. This is somebody who, when he says 500 people saw it, and he starts to name people, that people could go, okay, I'm going to check this out, and walk down the street and knock on the door and say, so you saw Jesus, eh? There were witnesses to this empty tomb. Jesus had risen again. And with him rising again, there is a promise that is given to us all that when we believe in him, we will have a full eternity. Imagine, just picture with me going through life knowing that this life isn't all there is. Going through life knowing that whatever comes your way right now, that this life is just a sliver of what is out there. And that there are greater things to come. Going through life thinking about the amazing, amazing eternity that lies ahead. Not thinking, what am I going to miss out on when this happens or that happens, but oh, there's great things to come. Sean McDowell is a university professor and author, and one day, Dr. McDowell asked his students what they would do if they had only 3 days left before they died and went to heaven. And the bucket list of answers from these Bible college students included such things as skydiving and travel and surfing and, as teenagers are apt to answer, having sex. And he followed up with an interesting perspective by asking, so you think that there may be pleasures and experiences in this life that if you don't do them before you die, you will miss out on altogether because they won't exist in heaven? And all but two students answered yes. Because you see, they had come to think that heaven is merely a consolation prize awaiting those who follow Jesus when, you happen to lose at the game of life. That it's just this thing that's like, okay, you died, but at least you get heaven. But that perspective is simply untrue. See, Easter reminds us that anybody that can conquer death, that can walk through walls, who can ascend into the clouds, is somebody that's anything but boring. And I think that if I'm going to spend eternity with anyone, I want it to be someone like Jesus. See, the empty tomb is a promise of a full eternity. Not a consolation prize. Not something little, but something grand. So here's what I want to encourage you to do today. Just one simple action. I want you to grasp a hold of a full eternity and give your life to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you have to. This is a choice that you have to make for yourself. Whether you'll grasp a hold of a full eternity and give your life to Jesus. And it's possible that you're somebody that's been coming to church for decades and you realize suddenly that, you know what, I've been coming to church, but I haven't actually given my life to Jesus. I haven't grasped a hold of this full eternity, but I need to share with you that there is a full eternity for those that follow Jesus. John 3:16, many of you are probably very familiar with it. This is Jesus talking to a man, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." And that's a promise from Jesus for you. For you. And so if you're here and you believe that, you believe You can put your trust in Jesus and you're ready to say, yes, I understand that there are implications for eternity. And I understand that I want to follow this Jesus. Then if you come to that place, then let me tell you that you have that eternity. You have that everlasting life. And in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer of commitment and thanksgiving for that. But first, I want to address some of you who may be asking another thing. Some of you may be asking right now, well, what about right now? Because my life is really tough. Or maybe I just don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. What's my purpose? What's my meaning? Why am I here? Sure, you say that when I die, there's something, but what about right now? And I got you covered. Next week, we're going to be talking about an empty life and about how Jesus will work in that situation. So I hope that you'll come back with us and that you will come to hear about what Jesus is doing for you right now. An empty life. The week after that, we're going to talk about an empty bank account. And we're going to talk about, you know, sometimes in life, you look at your bank account, you're like, I don't have money. Or you look at the bills and they're stacking up and you're like, my goodness, I'm in debt and I feel this weight, I feel this burden. Let me tell you that Jesus has a lot to say about money. And he actually gives us these principles that you can live by, that if you follow them are going to help you begin to manage your money in a godly way that actually helps you have more. Not suddenly go broke because you're running around buying on credit or whatever it is that's going on, but actually managing your money well. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about empty marriages. Because you know that marriage is something that's difficult, and some people seem to have it all together, but maybe there's fighting behind the scenes. And some people, you know, they've done the marriage thing and they're like, I'm done with this. Never going back to that. But Jesus also has some stuff to say about principles of marriage and how when you follow him, your marriage can go from empty to something that is full. And so I hope that you'll join us for the next few weeks because we've got some, what I think are really practical and really good things to share with you about how Jesus can work in your life. But today, if you're in this place where you're like, you know, I've heard what I need to hear and I want to follow this Jesus now, I'm going to invite everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes and we're going to pray a simple prayer together. And if you pray this prayer from your heart, I want to let you know that you've just made one of the best and biggest decisions of your life. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, that I've done wrong things. But I also know that your Son Jesus Christ died for me and rose for me. And I'm putting my trust in Jesus as my master and as my savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and for forgiving me. Thank you for the full eternity that you're giving me. I don't want to live the way that I've been living, but I want to live for you from this time forth. And so I place my trust today in Jesus and Jesus alone. In your name, amen. If you just listened to this recording and you gave your life to Jesus, you prayed that prayer from the bottom of your heart, it's so important that you take the next step. And we want to help you with that next step. So right now at your computer, I want you to stop whatever you're doing. And I want you to send an email to hello@abundantsprings.church. That's hello@abundantsprings.church. And let us know that you just gave your life to Jesus Christ. And we're going to make sure that you have all the resources you need to take the right next step in your relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you all, and I hope that you'll join us next week for more Bible-based encouragement.